Well, I mean, you know, certainly, you know, back to your question about winners and losers. You know, interesting, you were talking about town hall forums. You know, today we're going to have this discussion, and it's going to be, for about an hour, you and I will be able to cover some things. For people who want additional information, they should go to my website, turner.house.gov. I have a health care button there that they can go, and we have there a community forum that we convened that's like the ones that I've had around the district since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
This one is at the Huffman School, and it has seniors that are asking questions that are very much like the questions that your listeners might have.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there are a couple of articles and other information that we've placed on that website. So if people want, when you and I are all done, if they want additional information, go to turner.house.gov, and perhaps they might find answers there.
And I'll keep that on file and remind folks about it, or they can call me if they didn't catch that, turner.house.gov. This email from one of our listeners, we have been told that the plan does not plan to, quote, kill grandma, but does the plan not say that a panel would be set up to say that depending on what quality of life that could be expected would determine what amount of care could be expected? Sounds like maybe if the panel was having a bad day or might be over budgeted, determine what kind of care the elderly would receive.
Well, you know, people have a great deal of concern about this. And when I was actually, people would see in the web site, turner.house.gov, with a forum that we had with seniors, that they raised this issue of their concern. And there's a number of provisions in the bill at which that concern comes forward, one of which is that there is a end-of-life counseling that is provided for in the bill. And there are some people who, you know, when I talk to seniors who have living wills and other arrangements that are made with their loved ones, this is not a role that government should be playing. We should have our family, our pastor, our medical team give us advice as to what we want to do, but there shouldn't be a provision where government has any role or any place at that table. And the other where that place this comes in is where the commission comes together to determine what type of coverage that we should all have. You know, right now, our coverage is based upon what our employer negotiates with the health provider, and then what we have with that coverage that we have with our employer.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to enter into telling us what type of coverage should occur and what type of coverage should not occur. And then they go this next step of looking to issues of the actual health care that's provided. The president himself said, that in looking at a woman who is elderly, who's he referred to her as grandma,
mm-hmm.
Who needs a hip, perhaps there's alternative care and, for example, medication that could be provided. When I'm talking to these seniors, they were pretty struck by that because they consider Medicare not just a life extension program, but a quality of life issue. I had a gentleman who's 90 years old who stood up and said, I got a new knee in my late 70s. And under this plan, they could just hand me a cane and say, Grandpa, here's your cane. He's 90. He's in great shape. He's physically active, sharp as could be. For him, this bill attacks the issue of quality of life, not just life extension.
We are living longer in better health. And that segment of the population growing in size is becoming more and more vocal, as I'm sure you're hearing.
Absolutely, and they should be, because the plan as it's on the table takes money directly out of Medicare. The American public is well aware that Medicare is headed toward insolvency, and as it is. As you look to the future of the program, it's going to need more money put in it and reform, not money taken out. Well, the Obama plan takes billions of dollars out of Medicare, and the seniors know, well, that's billions of dollars of care that is going to have to be restricted because they've done nothing to make the medical care provided to be more efficient, effective, or cost-effective. They're just taking the money, and that's not right.
That is an area of concern. Brought up to me by a gentleman who is the owner of a large local business, talking about 150 plus employees, and that's what he was pointing out. His fears about the government running anything. He said our government run health plans that are now in place, Medicare, Medicaid, are in serious financial trouble, soon to be insolvent. And his thought was, how can government take on something so massive, so much bigger, and do it without drastically raising our taxes to pay for it?
Absolutely. And many people are opposed to this, as I am, because of the fact that this will add to deficit spending. The president stood up and said he was going to do a plan that was budget neutral. This is not a budget neutral plan. This absolutely will result in increased costs, increased expenses, and an increase to the federal deficit. And then again, back to that they're taking money out of Medicare, that money's going to have to be put back. You know, they're trying to say it's not going to create as much of a deficit as we think, and they're offsetting it by Medicare grab. But Medicare is going to need the money back, or care is going to have to be restricted. Now, here's another part about that Medicare cut that is of grave concern.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pull $150 billion out of Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage does not have $150 billion extra sitting there. What's going to happen is a bunch of seniors who are currently on Medicare Advantage, and a lot of your listeners may be, are going to lose Medicare Advantage because it's not going to be an option that's going to be able to be offered. So they're going to have to move from that plan just to the regular Medicare plan, and that switch means that, you know, their relationship with their doctor is going to change. Perhaps their doctor has to change, and their quality and level of care is going to change. The things that are covered and the amount of the access that they have. And again, that's what the president said he wasn't going to do. He wasn't going to change your doctor. He wasn't going to change the coverage that you have. But you know, it's certainly not up for contention that they take $150 billion out of Medicare Advantage, and it cannot sustain that cut.
This is the subject of an email from a listener named John, who said, my concerns with health care are being able to keep my own doctor. Also, how will they be compensated?
Well, that's a really good point. A number of small businesses that have health insurance that are provided to their employees will likely be in a position where they have to drop coverage, and that those people who are in that position, as a result of then the increased cost to the employer and the plan that is provided, will result in employees that are being shifted. That can result in a change to what physician you go to, and it certainly goes to the manner in which that physician is paid. But more importantly, it goes back to the commission that's established under this bill is going to detail what type of coverage that we all have, and in the bill we can't read what that is. I mean, you delegate to this commission the ability to sit down and fashion what coverage that we're going to have, what coverage by law we're supposed to have, without any ability or accountability for us to know what that is. You know, people, many times when they, you know, when they sit down, they want to pick up the piece of paper that tells them what are the details.
Right.
That's one of the major details that are left out. This unnamed commission is going to fashion that for us, and then we're all going to have to conform to it. It's not a recommendation. It's a legal obligation.
You're listening to Conversation on the health care proposals before the Congress with 3rd District United States Congressman Mike Turner, 11:30 in the morning, Classic Country Radio, Fox Broad, here with you. A gentleman named Jerry describes himself as a retired Air Force officer, writes, across the country, those against the health bill are ranting that many parts of the bill are written as bad ideas. Last Sunday on CNN, one of the Democrat pros stated that all the bad ideas that people are worried about are just not in the bill. I think this goes to one reason why people are also upset, because we're so confused about this. He wanted to know if you would address this. Either these various items of controversy are in the bill or they are not. He said, are people looking at two different bills?
Well, yes, and they're looking at... You know, a lot of the confusion comes from, you've got the House, of course, that's marching to the tune of wanting to pass this bill, H.R. 3200, that has in it the objectionable provisions.
Mm-hmm.
You have a number of bills and proposals that have circulated through the House, but they're pretty much focused on H.R. 3200. Then you have the Senate, and you have various senators that step forward and state what their individual positions are or might support other bills. And so, you know, they'll stand before you and say, you know, well, I'm not supporting that, and that's not in the bill. Well, but it might be in H.R. 3200, which is the working version that the administration has supported. The president has said his support for 3200. Well, now then, because of people's outcry, because when people have learned what's in this bill and have begun to object, the White House has begun to signal that there are some things in 3200 that they might agree to be taken out. But overall, the guiding force behind this is back to that first bill that you asked me about. That's the national grab of our healthcare system, where there would be a single payer system.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, again, if 218 people in the House it's taken to pass the bill, if almost 100 have already endorsed a bill that would be a complete takeover by the federal government, where Blue Cross and Blue Shield does not exist, we're all on a government plan. You know that they're trying to advance an agenda, and that's what H.R. 3200 is a step toward, is the agenda of that almost 100 members that want a complete takeover. Now, there are some good things that need to be done, and Bucks, I know your listeners have issues themselves that they have run into. I mean, there's no question that we need to look to expanding health care coverage. You know, there are people who know people who don't have coverage, or who themselves might have a period of time where they did not have coverage. And that's of a concern, and we need to step in to see how we can assist to expand coverage so that people don't have the concern that or be facing an illness where mm-hmm. they don't have coverage. The second is this concept of pre-existing condition. I think pretty much universally people believe that the healthcare system needs to be reformed so that people who have a job who get a healthcare condition, either diabetes, heart condition, or cancer, and then lose that job, or leave the job themselves, they should not be faced with the next insurance company telling them, I'm not going to provide you coverage because you have diabetes, a heart condition, or cancer.
Right.
When you shift from one job to another, your pre-existing conditions should not count against you, and you should come as you are, and that coverage should be there. People should not have the risk that they're going to have a catastrophic financial situation as a result of their illness.
Now you've touched on this in some detail. The president is saying this is not a single payer plan, but effectively, isn't it set up in the bill that it would lead to that it would force that to happen?
Well, it's certainly stepping toward that because, you know, if you have a commission that dictates what coverage is to occur, and you have, you know, increased taxes that occur. There are businesses that are going to have to make the decision of dropping the coverage that they have, leaving the people without the option of going anywhere else but to the government plan.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have coverage are going to be on that process of losing coverage and into the government plan. Now, there's a lot of people who are very concerned that the government plan, in the situation I just described, in competing with the private sector and with our current health insurance will put them out of business, meaning that businesses will be begin to make that decision more and more, pushing people onto the government plan. But I go back to, you know, when I started with, is that, you know, having that government option there, an incentive to it, goes right to the almost 100 members of the House that want that to be the only plan.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that it eventually succeeds in being the only plan, but that they would walk to the House floor tomorrow and vote to make Blue Cross and Blue Shield illegal and only a government plan available to us all.